We record our messages. They can be found at the church's Facebook page and also at the church's website. Though it sometimes takes a couple of days to get them lifted up there. I encourage people to go back and listen because I make mistakes. And most people are too shy to tell me in the middle of service that I made a mistake. Not that that's a bad thing. But if I'm making mistakes, I really, really, really need to know it. The Bible tells us, and we talked about it last week, that the whole body is strengthened by that each joint supplies. And we all have to encourage one another. We all have to lift one another up. That is how the body of Christ continues to grow and continues to be more like Jesus. Today is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. It is May 9th. May 9th. The message this morning is on communication. Had a situation happen recently where I was talking with somebody and what they were understanding me saying was not what I was understanding them hearing. In other words, communication was not happening. As a person who speaks, it is my job to make sure what I say, what comes out of my mouth, enters clearly into the ears of people listening. But I don't always do that, and I don't always know that. But I'm learning I have to be more and more careful. Now, I remember going through different trainings back when I was in the Navy, talking about communication and learning about active listening. You know, so you listen to somebody and then you paraphrase what they say and say it back to them just to make sure. But I can't rely on someone else to do that. It'd be wonderful if everybody did. But I can't rely on somebody else when it's my responsibility to make sure I'm speaking clearly and what I'm conveying is actually what I mean to be conveying. And communication's been going on for a long time, of course. In Matthew 3, beginning with verse 1, says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Back in Isaiah 6, I believe it is, Isaiah talks about this, that there's going to be this voice of one crying in the wilderness. And that the concept is that God has sent people out to speak a word, sent people out to share, sent people out to try to explain who he is. The prophecy of Isaiah fulfilled in John the Baptist was that there was coming a person who was going to be preparing the way of the Lord. And it says, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, away from people, for the most part. Of course, as people started gathering around him, as his voice started carrying and people started coming to listen, who is this crazy man? Remember the description of John the Baptist? He had a garment of camel hair and he ate locusts and wild honey. Not the guy you want to invite over for Thanksgiving dinner, you know, as a rule. But this is the guy, and he made such an impact that people came to hear because the message was what God wanted sent forth. In Romans 10, beginning with verse 8, says, but what does it say? The word is near to you, in your mouth and in your heart. God puts his word in our heart. God puts his word in our mouth. God talks through us to bring a message to other people. And if we don't focus on making sure that message gets across clearly, we get in the way. We get in the way of what God is wanting to do. That is the word of faith which we preach, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Or how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Again, going back to communication. We are called to share the message of the gospel of peace. We are called to share the grace of God that we were dead in trespasses and sins, and God made a way to reconcile us back to Him. Made a way through the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. Made a way through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, displaying His power over death, hell, and the grave. We are called to share that word. We are called to reach out. We are called to encourage other people. And also to live it out in our lives. But learning how to communicate, learning how to share what God has done in us, it's going to look different for different people. How we walk through it, how we display the love and grace and mercy of God is going to be different in a lot of different people, because God made us all unique. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made by the hand of a sovereign God who loves us. And if we were all exactly the same, how in the world are you going to reach everybody? You know, if everybody who comes to the Lord is exactly one mold, how are you going to reach people who aren't that mold? The person who helps us with putting the messages up used to do praise and worship here for us for a number of years. And he would sometimes cover the pulpit when I travel. Back before I retired, I was a computer tech for immigration, and I sometimes had to be gone for a while. But Rich, I caught him on tape a couple of times saying, boy, was he glad he did not have a testimony like Pastor did. Because I've been through some things that he hadn't been through. Shot at, stabbed, bitten by a cottonmouth moccasin, electrocuted twice, foot-long piece of wood stuck in my head. I've been through some things. But God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And also, just as my cousin said, that my brother Jesse and I were the heathen, I can relate to people that are going through some things because I've been there. And when people say, oh, I can't go to church, lightning might strike me. I said, if God put me in the pulpit, you're probably safe. God works in each and every one of us, but we need to work on learning how to share what God has given us, the message God has given us, so that we can reach out to the people around us. Because there's people that you can talk to that I can't talk to. They won't listen to me. A couple of years ago at a conference in Pennsylvania, I met a guy who's the pastor of the local bikers church. And from here to here, no hair, big beard. White t-shirt, tattoos all up and down his arms, rough looking guy. And they had church service on Thursday evening, because people riding motorcycles, they tend to take Sundays to go for their long rides. But they would come and listen to him on Thursday night, and he could share the gospel, and he could reach out to them, and he could make an impact in their lives. They wouldn't listen to me. Yeah, I rode a motorcycle a couple of times when I was a kid. I haven't been on a bike in over 40 years. My balance is not that good. Probably not the person everybody wants to talk to. In 1 Peter 3, beginning with verse 13, Peter tells us, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. In the King James, instead of defense, it says to give an answer. See, one of the reasons we don't share our faith is we're afraid of how people will react. Isn't it great that there's already scripture that covers it?
Amen.
Right there. Beginning with verse 13. Who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense or an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Are we willing to share the great things God has done in our lives? Are we willing to share what God has brought us through? Are we willing to say, look, I know that God can touch and change a heart because He's done it for me. He's done it in me. I know what it feels like to be overwhelmed. I know what it feels like to just look around and not have any hope. But I'm here to tell you there is hope. Do we do that? Do we grab onto that? Do we recognize what God has brought us through? Continuing on, verse 16. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile you for your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. In other words, there's no guarantee that they're not going to ridicule you, mock you, torment you. But if they do, it's still better to be obedient to God than not. It's still better to do what God called you to do than just, hold back out of fear and be disobedient to God. Being disobedient to God is not a fun place to be. Been there, done that. I can tell you, it is not a fun place to be. But God loves us and He continues to draw us. In Colossians 4, Paul is talking to the church at Colossae, and says, continuing earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Excuse me. So Paul says here to the church at Colossae, and pray that I'll have an opportunity to preach. This is Paul. And Paul says, look, pray that God would open doors for me. You know, when he wrote the letter to the Ephesians, right after he talked about the armor of God, he says to pray, praying always in all prayer and supplications for the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul is asking other people to pray for him, that he would be bold in his speech. You know, the guy who wrote a third of the New Testament says, I need God to help me to bring forth the word. Are we praying for God to give us boldness? Are we praying for God to give us opportunities to share? Are we praying for God to give us wisdom on how to share His grace with the people around us? Amen. We're called to do that. We have examples of people to do that. 1 Corinthians 13. Most people who have been married, who have gotten married, have heard this. Some of them have heard this in this very church. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And I'm going to stop right there for just a moment. We can be all skilled. We can be skilled orators. But if we don't love people, if we don't really care that they're hearing the message, if it's just something we can spout off without actually caring that it gets to them, we become an obstacle. A sounding brass or a clanging cymbal is what Paul says right here. So it's not just what we say, it is how we say it. I've mentioned this before. I remember years ago, there was a news article on the nightly news, and it was a school in South Carolina, I think it was, and this little 13-year-old kid is being a corner preacher. He's standing on a soapbox outside of a school, and he's screaming, "You're going to hell!" Very true. How effective do you think the message was, though? We have to learn how to be able to reach people. We have to learn how to be able to build relationships with people. You've probably heard the saying, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Until people see the love of God in us, our words mean nothing. And that includes people in other churches. That includes people in this church. You know, I try real hard not to do this. Hopefully I don't do this. But if I come across as mean and angry, then it throws up a barrier. I've got a tender heart. God gave me a tender heart for people. When I was running from God, I put up all kinds of barriers and all kinds of walls. So I was very mean and very, very caustic, very bitter toward people. But when God finally broke my heart and I began to look, oh, I see the division in the body of Christ. I see the division in the churches. And I'm like, why? We are all supposed to encourage one another. We're supposed to lift one another up. We're supposed to show God's grace to the people around us. If they look at people in the church and all they see is fighting, how are they going to be jealous of that? You can see that in the neighborhood bar. You can see that anywhere when people are just constantly at each other. So we need to come together in love. Jesus said, by this shall men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. If we're not showing the love of God to the people around us, we become an obstacle and a stumbling block to them. We become a barrier for people to want to know who Jesus is. Final passage, still in 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 4. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Stop right there for just a moment. Do we look at our life? Can we say that? Can you replace your name with love and make the statement? And it be true? So often the answer is no. If I say Andrew suffers long and is kind, nope. Andrew does not envy, nope. We need the love of God manifest in our hearts. Continuing on verse 6. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they will fail. And whether there be tongues, they will cease. And where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Do we strive for that? Do we long for that? For the perfection that is in Christ? That we have a clear understanding, that we walk in the love that God manifests to us, the love that is so much that He gave us His only begotten Son, the love that never fails, the love that never falls short, that doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Do we cry out to God for that to work in our hearts? Because if our hearts are filled with love, then we can make sure, or then we can communicate that love to the people around us. But if the love is not there, we don't take the time and effort to make sure the words that come out are words of life. We let other things get in the way. Happens in all of us. Happens in me. Guilty. We need Jesus, each and every one. Amen. So how do we do that? We continue to say, Lord, You are God and I am not. You are perfect and I am not. But I thank You for Your Holy Spirit that will guide me. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit that leads me and directs me. I thank You for Your Word that shows me how I need to live. And continue to go to Him day after day after day. And it becomes a part of our life to seek His face and to draw close to Him. That He be glorified in our lives. Amen. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. Your Word, Lord, always does that You send it forth to do. It never returns void or useless. We thank You, Father, for Your love and for Your grace. And we thank You, Lord, for the reminder to check our words and to make sure, Lord, as we're sharing, what we're sharing is actually getting through to the people around us, not to let other things get in the way, not to let our attitude, our heart that is not full of love become a barrier and an obstacle, that your word may go forth in power, that your word may go forth and bring life. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.